It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the show, we'll talk about this week's two confirmed cougar sightings here in the state.
First, we're calling back to our series in September called On the Rocks, a look at Wisconsin's alcohol culture. We covered different aspects of our state's relationship with alcohol and drinking. Today, alcohol policy experts from around Wisconsin met for the 2014 Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Seminar.
We have one of the speakers from that seminar with us now to talk about our often unhealthy relationship with alcohol in a public health context. Karen Timberlake is with us now. She's director of the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. Karen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, just refresh us here to get an idea of the problem. How bad is risky drinking in Wisconsin?
You know, this is one of those categories where Wisconsin leads the nation and we wish we didn't. So often drunk driving gets a strong focus when we're thinking about a culture of risky drinking, but I think it's important for people to remember that the problems that are associated with Wisconsin's alcohol culture go well beyond drunk driving. We know that excessive alcohol consumption, and again, we're not talking about a glass of wine with dinner, a beer with a friend. We're talking about this culture that we have of people really drinking to excess over and over and over. And we know that this is leading to premature deaths. We know it's a major contributor to a variety of illnesses. And really, even from the perspective of an employer, excessive alcohol consumption leads to both a great deal of absenteeism, but also what's called presenteeism. So people who are present at work but are not terribly productive. So when you look at it all told, there's just really a tremendous cost on individuals and their own health and well-being, our family lives, the health of our communities, the productivity of our workplaces. We have a lot of work left to do.
We've heard a lot over the last few years that Wisconsin ranks often worst in the nation when it comes to drunk driving. How do we rank in the nation when it comes to the other negatives that you talked about, the binge drinking, the other unhealthy drinking?
Yep. So binge drinking is another category where we continue to be first or last, depending on how you look at it, in the country. And that holds true whether you're looking at the percent of adults who say that they binge drink, which on average in Wisconsin is 25% of Wisconsin. So 25%, one out of four of adults in Wisconsin report not only that they binge drink, meaning that they consume more than five drinks at a sitting for a man, more than four drinks at a sitting for a woman, but actually the average number of drinks that those drinkers report is more like nine at a sitting. So we're well above that, even what that sort of clinical definition of binge drinking is. And people report engaging in that kind of behavior as often as about five times a month, so on a weekly or better than weekly basis. And of course, if you look at young adults, you know, kind of that 18 to 44-year-old age group, those numbers are all higher. So clearly there's a sort of tradition in our state of drinking to excess. The good news is there are a whole lot of communities and community organizations and leaders really coming together to work on this.
You know, I was looking at some demographic charts of drinking nationwide, and anytime there's a chart like that, there's a substantial part of the population that drinks zero.
Exactly.
Why should they care? Why should they have a stake in the issue for the people at the other end of that chart, those people drinking nine drinks in a sitting?
Right, right. It's really a great question. You know, I guess this comes down to a case of we all are affected by the behavior of this group that chooses to drink to excess, whether we realize it or not. So again, we think about, you know, the risks of driving on the highways at night when we're not sure about, you know, the sobriety level of the drivers around us. That's one sort of concrete experience that I think we all have had. But then if we think just back to the dollars and cents of this, the lost productivity that's experienced by our employers in our state, what we all pay in healthcare costs. So we may think that if a person, you know, falls while drunk, is injured, goes to the hospital, well, those are costs that they have to pay. And yet we know that if that happens to be a person who's covered by the Medicaid program or the Medicare program, we all as taxpayers are paying those costs. If they're a person without insurance, we all, as purchasers of healthcare and participants in the healthcare system, are paying those costs as well. There are tremendous costs to our criminal justice system, to our social service, human service system, child welfare, juvenile justice, all those things. So you really can't escape the effects of excessive alcohol consumption in the Wisconsin economy.
All right, so there's our problem. Now, you and a lot of other public health people got together today at this Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Seminar. What are you hoping to accomplish there?
So this is an event that has happened for about 5 years now, and it really brings together local leaders from all across the state, sponsored by the UW Law School along with other partners. And what's important to know about this work is that all across our state, there are things that local communities not only can do but are doing to try to really change that culture of excessive alcohol use and try to focus more on creating healthy communities where we don't have those kinds of problems. So there are a lot of really innovative efforts going on in the state to build strong partnerships with schools and local law enforcement officials, local business leaders, local chambers, civic organizations, who all say, it would really be better for this particular locality if we could, for example, restrict how many beer tents we have at the county fair. So we can have some, but do we need to have as many as we had last year? What are we doing to make sure that young people in middle school and high school, I'm a parent of a middle schooler, and it amazes me to say it, but there's still a significant number of kids in our state who start to drink before the age of 13. And we know that the earlier kids are exposed to alcohol, the more likely they are to have longer-term problems as they grow up. And so those are all issues that really can be addressed at that local community level and also require, partners from all around the community to come together. So that was the focus of the discussion today.
We're talking to Karen Timberlake about Wisconsin's relationship with alcohol.
And we're taking your calls now. Do you think Wisconsin has an alcohol problem? And how do you think we need to reframe the conversation about alcohol and alcoholism in Wisconsin? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email to talk@wpr.org.
We'll get to your calls and talk some about Wisconsin's alcohol culture and changing the conversation about drinking in just a bit. First, it is our fall membership drive here at WPR.
That's right. I'm Veronica Rickard here with Cheryl Gasser. Your gift makes a huge difference. It makes WPR possible. Step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, Veronica, we heard from 34 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges of support and welcomed 26 new members to the WPR family. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But now a new hour and a new goal. We are looking for 16 pledges by 6 o'clock. Won't you help us make that goal?
And you'll want to make that pledge because your gift of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for 2 tickets to go on a WPR trip. Help us meet this goal and get entered in the drawing by making a contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You name it and you've heard about it here on the Ideas Network. Politics, current events, food, great books. You enjoy learning about your state and the world around you here on Central Time. It really is a valuable service and a service worth supporting.
Make your contribution of $5 a month, maybe $10 a month, whatever amount you decide on to support the Ideas Programs networks that you enjoy. This is your chance to make the programs possible at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And everyone who pledges this drive will be entered into a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip of your choice. Maybe it will be Alaska or France or a cruise on the Rhine River. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, email address, and telephone number and your address to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or, better yet, by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Phone calls, emails, that deadline. And I have that meeting in half an hour. I'll listen to WPR for a few minutes. And that'll be a nice break.
17 of those are new members. We love it.
We're looking for your pledge of support.
Pledge drive? You've got to be kidding me. They have lots of business donors. I don't know why they come on the air to bother us for our measly dollars. What's the point?
The point, Aaron, is what you call measly donations add up to the single biggest piece of our budget.
No way.
No way what? That the radio's talking to you, or that your donation is a crucial part of our funding?
Both, I guess. But since you've got my attention, tell me more about the support from businesses. I hear them all the time. Doesn't that cover your costs?
We do have hundreds of business sponsors, and we're grateful to them. But back to listener support. Like I said, the single biggest piece of our budget comes from donors like you.
So you're saying I should give?
Do you value WPR programs?
Absolutely. I mean, I listen every day.
Well, then, Aaron, it's time to give.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickard here with Cheryl Gasser asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift will be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Help us reach our goal. We're looking for 10 more pledges this hour, and you can pledge your support WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And if you're looking for the best way to fit a contribution to WPR into your budget, why don't you consider becoming a sustaining member? That means you'll make automatic, affordable monthly contributions from either your credit card or your bank account.
A lot of people give $15 a month on this plan. Some give $100. The amount, though, it's totally up to you. As a sustainer, you'll be an ongoing member of Wisconsin Public Radio, building a stable source of revenue for your favorite radio station. Contribute right now and become a sustainer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 8 more pledges this hour. Because you have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite, chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays a very important role in that sense of identity. We do serve the entire state.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news, voices, music, and sounds from around the state. Over time, all of these broadcasts add up to a strong sense of connection to the state we call home.
And here on Central Time, we explore Wisconsin culture on Wisconsin Life. We learn about famous Wisconsinites, past and present, on Wisconsin Legends. We keep up with the news of the day around the state with Noah Ovshinsky, our news guy, on the Friday State News Roundup. And there's so much more on Central Time. And then there's Larry Mueller and Joy Cardine. And what do you know? It really is Wisconsin. WPR, it's a home we all share, and it's funded in large part by listeners like you. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 8 more members of Wisconsin Public Radio, 8 more pledges to support the programs that you listen to. Make that pledge happen right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A sustaining membership, it's convenient for you and provides reliable funding for WPR. So set up an ongoing monthly donation from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org. And hey, if you're already a sustainer, this would be a great time to increase your donation by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount is comfortable for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And pledge drives are really an important time to hear from new members. If you've never given before, maybe you've thought about it, just didn't take the plunge, make today the day that you become a WPR member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation with Karen Timberlake of the UW Population Health Institute about our state's relationship with alcohol.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think we need policy changes here in Wisconsin when it comes to alcohol? Do we need a culture change in Wisconsin when it comes to drinking? Call 800-642-1234 or send an email, talk@WPR.org. Karen, let's get into that idea of culture change. Are there segments of our population, the people drinking in dangerous amounts, binge drinking, drinking and driving, are they surrounded by a community that does the same thing they do, so they find it as a normal part of life?
Well, certainly we know that that's true in certain cases, but we know that that there'll be other cases where there may be sort of a more of a opportunity to be healthy in a community, and individuals may take sort of the wrong path. So that's why we really do need a comprehensive set of approaches. There are some policy changes that can help to make it less likely for people to drink to excess. And particularly, again, if we're thinking about our kids and young adults, there are about 30 communities across our state now that have adopted what are called social host ordinances, which create consequences for parents and other adults who hold drinking parties for kids who are underage. So, you know, that's one strategy. Another strategy is something that the business community in our state is really starting to get behind, which is making sure that in a healthcare setting, people are screened for excessive alcohol consumption and for prescription and illicit drug abuse and even for depression, things we might call behavioral health concerns. We aren't routinely screened for those things when we go to the doctor, and yet our blood pressure is checked, our height and weight are checked. Well, it turns out that excessive alcohol consumption and undiagnosed depression and prescription and illicit drug abuse, those things all contribute just as much to our good health or our lack of good health as do high blood pressure and maybe being a little bit overweight. So the employer community is starting to say, listen, we are experiencing the costs and the consequences of unaddressed excessive alcohol consumption, and so we are supporting payment changes and care delivery changes in the healthcare setting that are going to try to get those things addressed. So there's a wide variety of interventions that can take place and should take place.
Let's go to a caller now. We've got Michelle on the line in Green Bay. Michelle, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up, Michelle?
Well, she mentioned culture change for the alcohol culture, Wisconsin. And I work in the healthcare industry, and I'm sorry, I don't have permission to name my facility, but I am kind of biased because I see the bad results of the alcohol. I see it an awful lot. But when I'm trying to educate people, I'm running into the fact that the adults don't want to recognize that the culture is part of the problem. So they don't tell the children it's not okay to drink. They say, oh, you can have a little bit, or social drinking is okay, and they're always accepting it. And there's a lot of jokes that until you start paying attention, you don't even recognize how prevalent the I need a drink because work's been hard type of comments are actually contributing to the impression that drinking alcohol is okay.
Interesting, Michelle. Thank you so much. So, Karen, that idea of adults modeling better or, in this case, worse behavior for their kids.
Right. It's a great point. And it also really brings up the power of those personal experiences. So, you know, Michelle's really talking about what she's seeing in a healthcare setting, and she's seeing the very real consequences and the fact that, you know, as much as it's tempting to make a joke and to sort of laugh about Wisconsin being known for beer and cheese and brats and the Packers, all the things we're known for, the reality of it is that these are things with real consequences for kids and families. And so I'd love to tell you that there's an easy silver bullet solution to what she's describing, and we all know that there's not. So what that means is there's a role for every sector of our society. There's a role for faith communities. There's a role for schools. There's a role for healthcare. There's a role for civic organizations in deciding to take this issue on and really address it seriously.
Michelle, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Karen, you've mentioned a couple times local initiatives. I understand at the Population Health Institute, you've got a new resource for community health officials and others. Can you tell us about that?
I'd love to. And this is in the category of don't ever try to describe a website on the radio, but I'm about to. So what we did at the Population Health Institute was we wanted to understand what are those local health improvement priorities that our community health leaders are working on. So we looked at plans that are done every 5 years by local public health departments and also a new set of community health improvement plans that have been done by hospitals all across Wisconsin. This is a new requirement of the Affordable Care Act. And what we found, to cut to the chase, is in the most common health improvement priorities that were mentioned in those plans all across the state was alcohol. So in 60 of Wisconsin's 72 counties, there is either a hospital or set of hospitals or a public health department or both who have picked excessive alcohol consumption as one of those local health improvement priorities. So we've put all that up on a website, which is called improvingwisconsinhealth.org, and Wisconsin is just WI. And we wanted to really create opportunities for local communities to connect with each other. We know that this is hard, complex work. It takes a long time, requires engagement, as we said, of local government leaders, civic leaders, families, churches, schools, everybody. And there's strength in numbers, and there's strength in being able to share ideas. And that was really our goal in developing this resource.
Let's go back to another caller. We've got Dan on the line in Madison. Dan, hi.
Hi. Yeah. I just want to sort of reinforce some of the things that have already been said. I grew up in Minnesota, went to college in Minnesota, moved to Madison a few years ago for a job. And just, you know, even between the two states next to our neighbors, I feel like there's a significant shift in the culture. There's just a lot more binge drinking that goes on here from my experience anyway. You know, I could count on one hand probably the number of times I binge drank before moving here. And now it's pretty common just because that's, you know, sort of what everyone in my age group does. And more than that, you know, I feel like something needs to change just in terms of, you know, every day I go online and see more news headlines about fifth, sixth, seventh repeat offense drunk drivers. And I don't know whether that can be resolved through culture change or, you know, through policy, but, you know, it's been sort of reinforced me too. A friend of mine was killed by a drunk driver a few years ago, and I just feel sort of impotent. Like, you know, obviously people are trying to change something. I just don't know what the answer is, you know, make a donation to Matt or what. Yeah, so it's sort of my piece. Thank you.
Dan, thanks so much, and sorry for your loss. Karen, Dan says something needs to change. Coming out of this seminar on alcohol policy today, are you optimistic that something's going to change?
I really am, because, you know, it was a room full of people who are working hard at the local level. They are making progress. They're picking up partners. You know, the fact that we have so many public health departments and hospitals, you know, think about who's on boards of health in local communities. Think about who's on hospital boards of directors. These are important community leaders, and they're folks who can get things to happen in communities. And we have a whole group of those leaders all across the state saying it's really time for things to change with this culture of excessive alcohol use. So I think there's very good reason to be optimistic.
It's an issue we'll keep following. Karen, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
That's Karen Timberlake. She's director of the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute, with us to talk about the 2014 Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Seminar held today.
Coming up after the news, we'll talk about cougars in Wisconsin and what we need to know about the animal going forward.
And it is our fall membership drive. You can show your support for important conversations like the one we just had with your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Four more pledges to go to make our goal for this hour. You can help us get there by making your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations, important, inspiring conversations and discussions and interviews. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll hear about confirmed cougar sightings in Wisconsin and what we need to know about the animal going forward.
First, Cheryl Gasser joins us here in the studio to remind you that it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Thank you to everyone who's pledged so far. Thank you to everyone who's a sustainer. WPR relies on listeners like you. Your support is the single largest piece of our budget. If you haven't given yet, though, now is the time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 16 pledges this hour in support of Central Time and everything you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. So make the pledge now, and here is a great reason to give. Pledge any amount, and you're automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You could choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, an Alaskan adventure, or a trip to France.
Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, help us stay on track and enter that drawing by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, Central Time is WPR's newest show. It's just over a year old. It's a great mix of news and culture with guests from Wisconsin and beyond. And Rob and Veronica do an amazing job every day bringing these great conversations to you. This is your chance to say thank you with a pledge of support, because you simply don't get a show like this anywhere else. and Central Time is possible with your pledge of support. Pledge by pledge, dollar by dollar, only here on Wisconsin Public Radio with your support. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you might pay as much as $200 a month for your cable service. You're willing to pay that because you get entertainment and information. Infotainment, too, as I was about to say, all month long.
You get those same things here on the station. And in fact, the quality of what you get on WPR really is unmatched. The quality is only possible with your support. So become a sustaining member with a 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or more. Keep the station going strong. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Imagine in your mind a pie chart, and it's WPR's budget. And the biggest triangle with the curvy side on it, I don't know what you call that shape, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, you know, the state and federal government, businesses are important, your contribution makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is thanks to listener support. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Joy Cardine. I'll be taking a WPR trip to Alaska, and you could join me. Here's how. This membership drive, we're having a choose-your-own-adventure drawing. If you're the lucky winner, you and your best friend can choose from among three possible trips. When you choose Alaska, we'll take a cruise along the coast, making stops to visit towns, glaciers, and gardens. I hope we'll see plenty of wildlife at a safe distance. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Learn about all the trips and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. Cheryl Gasser is in here with the Central Time crew asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift of $5 a month or $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And we are so close to our hourly goal, looking for 16 pledges by 6 o'clock. That's why your gift right now is such a powerful gesture. It means that you're willing to stand up and be counted as the next member in our WPR community in support of Central Time and everything you enjoy on WPR. And new members are so important because without you, we wouldn't be able to increase and improve our services as we do every single year.
You care enough to listen. Now support your source for meaningful radio. Give your gift of $5 a month or whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, we all know time flies, and maybe it's been longer than you realize since you last gave to WPR. We're asking you to keep your membership active.
Think of your support of WPR like the other services you rely on, telephone and internet. Renew your support of WPR right now with an ongoing monthly gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Tom in Fitchburg who says, I'm a longtime listener and today a first-time donor. Tom, thank you so much for your support. And Rob, we are just two pledges away from the hourly goal.
That's right. And a little extra incentive, your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps Wisconsin Public Radio and it enters you in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustainer, thank you so much. But how about making today the day you increase your support for WPR by, say, $5 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Reports of cougar sightings in Wisconsin are nothing new. Each year sees hundreds of unconfirmed reports, but this week two were officially confirmed by the Wisconsin DNR.
Including a cougar sighting in January, DNR biologists say there have been three confirmed reports of cougars in 2014. That's causing excitement for some, maybe a little worry for others. So, what do we need to know about them?
Joining us now in the studio is Timothy Van Dielen, Assistant Professor of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison. Timothy, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, so Timothy, cougars have been absent seemingly from the state for a long time. Now we've had sightings that have been piling up, two confirmed just recently, three total. What do we know so far about why the cougar is here in Wisconsin again?
Well, it's speculation, but our native cougars went extinct about the turn of the century, as far as we know. And then we've had reports of cougars kind of ever since, but recently a couple of things have sort of converged. One is there's widespread use and ownership of these game cameras. And so lots of landowners have these cameras out there. They're watching their own properties. They're picking up lots of deer and bears, and occasionally they've gotten a cougar. So that gives us some pretty hard evidence of what we're seeing. And we think that the reason that we're seeing cougars probably has to do with a robust cougar population in the Black Hills area of South Dakota. We know from genetic work on the few cougars that we've been able to get genetic samples from that at a genetic level, they look a lot like that South Dakota population. And then the question we get sometimes is, why are they here? And there's a couple of reasons for that. I think primarily is that one of the primary reasons is that here in the Great Lakes region, we have relatively high deer densities, which are the primary prey of cougars. But we've also had gentrification of our Midwestern ag areas. It's getting woodier, brushier, and looking more like cougar habitat.
Now, it looks like the two confirmed recently were in the northern part of the state. Where are they showing up otherwise?
Well, the 200 plus reports that you mentioned earlier are showing up throughout the state. The verified reports are showing up primarily in the northern third.
I saw one in Iowa County, which is pretty far south.
Well, we've had three unconfirmed reports in 2013 right here in Dane County. But yeah, the ones that are confirmed or deemed verified are the ones that are showing up in the northern third of the state. And that's, of course, that's the more forested region.
And what do we need to know about the history of these cougars?
Well, the life history of the cougars, is that the question?
Well, you said there was an eastern cougar that had gone probably extinct, or at least been driven out of, you know, Wisconsin. So what about the cougars now that are seemingly coming in from the west?
Well, that's the difference there is at the subspecies level, which is a pretty subtle difference. A lot of times subspecies designations are the sorts of things that become academic arguments. They're based on small differences in physiology and sometimes small differences in genetics. So the eastern cougar, the one that was in the northeastern United States at the time of European settlement, as far as we know, is now extinct. There's the Florida panther, which is a cougar species, which is its own subspecies, and it's been in trouble for a long time because of very small population sizes. And then we have the western populations, and I'm not exactly sure how many subspecies are out there, but the ones that we're getting in Wisconsin here look genetically like the subspecies or the population that live in the Black Hills.
Now, another predator that's made a comeback in the state is the wolf. Are there similarities here or differences that we should be aware of?
Well, the big similarity is that both wolves and cougars are sort of deer specialists in terms of the prey that they attack. But after that, they sort of separate their access to the deer population on the basis of different behaviors. So wolves are coursing predators, which means that they chase their prey. They capture their prey by chasing them into a place where they get tripped up or where the wolf can overtake the deer. The contrast is with cougars. Cougars are ambush predators, and so they tend to use stealth either to sneak up on a deer, or they'll wait in a tree or on a cliff or someplace that gives them the surprise advantage, and they'll try and attack from above. And we know from research that one of my own graduate students did in Wyoming that when wolves reinvade a place where cougars are established, that the niche, the foraging niche of the cougars contracts. And so what happens is the wolves kind of reclaim their own piece of the territory and the cougars kind of retreat a little bit. And, you know, one of the questions raised by the thought that cougars might return here to Wisconsin is whether or not there'll be that sort of niche contraction on the part of wolves, because you might presume that wolves are exploiting whatever niche the eastern cougar had at one time.
Now, I've been in my life had the opportunity to do some hiking in Northern California, and I know there I've been on a trail and there have been signs that said, keep small children close to you. A cougar, this area is populated by, you know, cougars or mountain lions. So I guess my question is, do we need to be worried about this? Is this something that there's a big enough population of cougars in Wisconsin that it's going to be a danger to humans?
It's, The danger to humans is very, very, very small in Wisconsin. I would not worry about it at all. There have been cougar attacks out west, and that's been associated with relatively high cougar populations, populations that have not been hunted, at least not hunted recently, so the cougars sort of lose their fear of humans. But in terms of the risks that you assume when you go outdoors, the risks of running into a cougar have got to be just vanishingly small, especially here in Wisconsin. I mean, as a wildlife professor and, you know, former graduate student working in Montana, I've spent a lot of times in cougar habitats, and I can count on one hand the number of times I've seen a wild cougar.
It's starting out small, but is there a potential for this population to boom and for us to have a pretty sizable cougar population?
There is the potential for it to grow. I wouldn't go so far as to say that it's going to boom and that we're going to have a sizable population, because there is some competition. Cougars might get into trouble with agriculturalists, but you know, the key feature that we're seeing with the cougars that we know about is that they all tend to be young males, and you can't have a population until the females show up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like in the past, you know, we've been hearing about these cougar sightings for several years now, but the DNR has been seemingly reluctant to confirm those sightings. Now we've got some confirmed sightings. What's changed?
Well, the DNR has to remain kind of agnostic on whether or not those are cougars until they get some good evidence. And good evidence means a clear track or a sample of hair or skin or a dead body or something like that. And what's really changed in recent years is the widespread use of these game cameras. When you start seeing photographs, then that becomes pretty good evidence.
Yeah, the picture, that I think it's up on the Central Time Facebook page, it's incredibly striking to see a predator like that. I don't know if they qualify as a super predator, but to think that, you know, there's a cougar in Wisconsin, it is kind of a mind shift, isn't it?
Well, you know, I'm a wildlife guy. I think it's actually pretty cool. But, you know, even getting trail cam photos, it's amazing, having looked at thousands of trail cam photos, that sometimes you get a little flash of fur or a little bit of movement on the camera and you're not quite sure what it is. But the one that's up on the websites is very clearly a cougar.
Yeah, we do have that picture up on the Central Time Facebook page. And before we let you go, what should someone do if they think that they've seen a cougar, or maybe they've definitely seen a cougar?
Well, the DNR appreciates the reports, because that does eventually coalesce into an interpretable pattern. But like with all wild animals, and especially large predators, enjoy them from a distance.
Great. Well, Tim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
We've been speaking with Timothy Van Dielen, Assistant Professor of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison.
This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Membership Drive. Another really interesting conversation here on the Ideas Network about a new member of our state community, and maybe a couple of them out there. And it's a great reason for you to support Wisconsin Public Radio now. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy here on WPR. It's time for you to take action now. Become a contributor with a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have hit our goal. We've gone one over, but that doesn't mean we need to stop. We need to keep the momentum going strong. The pledge drive is not over, and we have some ground to cover. You can help us do it by supporting this program. Support all the programs that you listen to on Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And give any amount, and you'll be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You get to choose a cruise along the Rhine River in Europe, discover Alaska, or sample the French lifestyle.
Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. You can give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, lately we've heard about, well, of course, the cougars being confirmed and sighted here in Wisconsin. Just a couple confirmed sightings so far. Yesterday we met a Wisconsinite who is a world champion whip cracker. We've heard about the history, Wisconsin Civil War history. Here on Central Time, we try to connect you with interesting, informative, maybe quirky things about the state we live in.
Your support makes all those topics that we cover every day on the show possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Is listening to WPR worth $4 a day for you? Consider becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members are listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs. $1,200 works out to less than $4 a day.
If you find that you've been getting more value from WPR in the past year, consider a contribution that puts you in the 9XM Leadership Circle. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now when we travel, I've got WPR's app for the iPhone. We listen to WPR all the time. We're driving 14, 15 hours a day sometimes all across the country. This station has by far the best programming of any public radio station I've found anywhere in the country. This is prime programming. People should know that. People should be aware of it. People should know that there's something really intelligent happening right here in our midst. When we gave annually, you got a good feeling when you wrote the check. Now, as a sustainer, I'm reminded monthly. It does make you feel a bit more a part of the process, more a part of the entire effort to put intelligent programming on the air. We like the idea that we're putting our money where our values are. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret and Veronica Rickert here asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
You know, giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
Make a one-time gift or better yet, start automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from one donor who said, "Every day WPR brightens my mind, raises my spirits, and piques my curiosity." Another said, "WPR is the best deal ever."
Thank you so much for those wonderful comments. This is possible because of members like you. If you haven't done it yet and you feel the same way as these other WPR listeners, now is the time to do your part and keep it going with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help pay for the programs you depend on. We hit our goal this hour, but
Yay.
There's ground to cover still. Yeah, we are very excited about that. Thank you so much. But we want to keep it going, keep going strong. And what it really does, it helps make sure that this drive and this fiscal year for Wisconsin Public mm-hmm. Radio is strong and healthy.
Yeah, this is a really important pledge drive, the way our budget year works. I don't want to get too complicated, but this is the first drive. It's the biggest drive. It really sets the stage for the whole rest of the year. That's why your pledge is so important right now. And during this very important drive, when you give, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip of your choice. A pledge of any amount is your chance to enjoy European towns along the Rhine River or explore Alaska or escape to France.
Make your donation now. Get entered in that drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do. It's that great buzz you feel when you know that you're a part of making something special happen.
So help make great radio happen with your first ever gift of, say, $5 a month, and enjoy that buzz. It starts with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you pledge, you'll be adding your voice to the 50,000 members who support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your contribution of any amount is pooled with other member contributions to make up the single largest piece of our budget.
What we do is we use that money to bring you programs every day, the programs that you listen to and that you depend on and that have become part of your life. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've hit a great point in this hour. We're not counting down. We're counting up. We're counting up. We're now five pledges past our original goal for the hour. Just went up from four to five. I love to see that. I love when we hit this point. Help us keep that momentum going strong. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, as an added bonus for a pledge of any amount at all, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets to go on a WPR trip. And sustainers, we've got you covered because you're automatically entered.
Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Central Time is the newest show here on the Ideas Network. Been at it for a little over a year. We've loved spending this time with you each and every weekday afternoon. We learn as you're learning. We've just met so many great people, listeners, callers, and our guests as well. And we love to know that you're out there as members supporting the work we're doing. You can become a member with your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Something to think about, a sustaining membership is convenient for you and it provides reliable funding for WPR. Set up an ongoing monthly donation from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
However much you give, however you do it, make that contribution now. Become a member, maybe for the first time ever, of this radio service that you count on, that's part of your life, every day of the week. Make a pledge now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.